Tonight's shiur, Parshas Vayeshev, sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. Parsha starts off, Vayeshev Yaakov, Beretz Migurei Aviv, Beretz Kanan. So the Kilas Yitzchak asks, why the Kefal Lashon? Right? If it says Yaakov dwelt in Beretz Migurei Aviv, where his father dwelt, Eretz Kanan, okay, we know where Yitzchak lived in Eretz Kanan. So what do you have to say, Megurei Aviv, Eretz Kanan? You say either Eretz Kanan or Eretz Megurei Aviv. Why do you have to mention both? So he says, based on the Rashi, which Dr. Shem will speak a little bit more about soon, famous Rashi. Rashi says, Vayeshev bikesh Yaakov leshe b'shalva. Yaakov wanted to sit in peace and tranquility until kafatz alav rogzo shel Yosef, until the problems of Yosef came and stirred him up. So the question is, why dafka did Yaakov now bikesh Yaakov l'shei b'shalva? All of a sudden now he said, you know what? Now I'm going to be kid. You could have always, you know, many years he's having a lot of troubles. Could have at any point said, okay, that's it. Now I just want to, you know, sit in peace. Why dafka now did he decide to l'shei b'shalva? So he says that Yaakov Avinu, he was scared of Esav for two main reasons. One was that Esav had this chus of living in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, the whole time now when Yaakov Avinu was in Chutz Laaretz. And second of all, since he was in Eretz Yisrael, where was he? He was by his father, Yitzchak. So Mele, he also had this, the schus of the mitzvah of Kibud Avein. So we had two things going for him, Esav, which Yaakov didn't have, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael and Kibud Avein. So now, up until now, therefore, Yaakov was worried. Now Yaakov comes into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshiv Yaakov, Beretz Migurei, Beretz Kanan. He's there in Eretz Yisrael now. So now he says, oh, now I can relax. I don't have to be so scared of Esav anymore. Why? Because those two schuyas that Esav has, now I have them also. Now I'm with my father, Kibud Avim, and living in Eretz Yisrael. So the two schuyos now that Esav had until now over me, now I have them as well. Now that's why Bikish Yaakov L'shei B'shalva, and it fits in nice with the double Lashon, like we said. Why? V'yeshev Yaakov Beretz Migurei Aviv, referring to living with his father, that's Kibud Avim. And Be'eretz Kanan, that's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Mele, because of those two things, that's why he was V'yeshev Yaakov Bikish L'shei B'shalva. We said again, the Rashi that he wanted to sit b'shalva until the rogzo shel Yosef came upon him. And Rashi continues, Sadiqim mevakshim leishei b'shalva. They would like, Sadiqim like to sit in tranquility. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu lo dayin la Sadiqim ma'ashem esukan lahem lo'olam haba elishim mevakshim leishei b'shalva b'olam hazeh. Well, it's not enough that they have olam haba, they also want to sit peacefully in this world. So the obvious question is that everybody asks, what's wrong if a tzaddik wants to have a little piece of quiet in this world? You know, what is he? What do you think? Why did Yaakov want to leishei b'shalva? Want to sit back on the beach and drink his pina colada? You know, no, chas v'shalom. He wanted peace and quiet so he can sit and learn and serve Hashem without all the problems. So what's so terrible? Oh, he wants to sit b'shalva. No, not enough. They're getting olam haba. He wants olam haba. Also, forget it. No, what's so terrible? Truth is an interesting Tosefes Bracha, that's the Epstein. Torah Tamima. He has a sefer on the Chumash called Tosefes Bracha, and he goes wild on this, and he says that where does Rashi get this from? It's a Midrash Rabbah. Midrash Rabbah changes one word and makes a big difference. Right, the Rashi says, brings down where it says in our Rashi, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu. What? It's not enough. What tzaddikim have? In the Midrash Rabbah, it says not Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, it says Amar HaSatan. A little bit different. It's a Satan saying, of course Hashem wants him to have peace in this world, you can serve Hashem. But Amar HaSatan, what? Those tzaddikim are getting in next world, they're getting in this world. No, it's a Satan talking. And he goes out, like, goes wild on, he said, it is a terrible mistake, whoever, you know, wrote down this Rashi, and printed it, and he says that everybody should know this, and they should spread the word. Meanwhile, Amaisa, though, there's thousands and thousands of Divrei Torah on this Rashi, you know. So, Some say, I think Chazanish said, even if there's a mistake, there's a reason why there's a mistake. You know, the fact that it was printed like this, and there's so many Divrei Torah, and there must be something to it. I once had a Rosh Kollel, someone said that we know that in Shas, every Meseches starts with Daf Beis. Right? The first Amu is always Daf Beis. So they said, why is that the case? So he said there's two explanations given. One explanation given is to teach a person that even though you finished the Masechet, you didn't start yet. You didn't even get the Daf Aleph. Even if you finished, you never even started. Says others say it was a printing mistake, or whatever, a mistake, or that's, you know, and the first Amud is the base, because that whatever, they started the printing line. It was a mistake or whatever, or the first main page is the Shar, you know, but it's not, you know, no significance. So Rosh Kol had, it was Rav Reich, he wants to say that they're both true. Really, it's a printing mistake. But mistakes don't just happen. And the fact that it happened like that, so there's a reason behind it. To teach you, you know, there's no such thing as a mistake. So through here, the fact that it's written in all, and so much Torah written about this Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a reason for it. So therefore, we can say Torah on it. So let us do so. So the question again is what's so terrible if a tzaddik wants peace in this world? They have to bring Rogan to Yosef. So Torah Zav says a beautiful idea. It says that the Chodesh Baruch Hu goes there already from Avraham Avinu that Yidden have to be in Galus for 400 years. Okay, so they came out, and you know, Zath, they came out after 210 years in Mitzrayim, whereas the 400 years. So they say that it was really the end of the Galus, because the Galus started from latest Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was born. And from then until, in fact, they came out of Mitzrayim was 400 years. So in order to be Galus, though, it has to be Galus. You have to feel Galus. So from the time when Yitzchak was born, he was, even though he's living in Eretz Yisrael, but he was in Galus, he was like wandering, the wandering Jew. Right? In fact, the darshan from the pasuk Vayeshev Yitzchak Bigrar, Grar, the root is Ger. Now, Yitzchak was a Ger. His whole life he was like moving around. He was like a Ger, even though he lived in Eretz Yisrael, but it was like in Galus. So Mele says very nice. And that in order for the Galus to be over after 400 years, when they leave Mitzrayim, there has to be this ongoing Galus. So Mele, that was the problem of Yaakov, the Bikesh Lashay B'Shalva. Why? Because Hashem said, no, that's no good, Yaakov. Because if you're going to take it easy and relax and not, you know, not be in this state of Galus, so this time is going to have to be made up, because there has to be 400 years. So your father Yitzhak was in Galus the whole time. You know, he kept the Galus going. If you're going to want to, you know, take it easy, so those years it's going to interfere with the 400 years, and we're going to have to make it up with your children later. So Mele, that's the idea of Yeshev Yaakov Beretz Migurei Aviv. He wanted to Yeshev have be settled, whatever, where Beretz Migurei Aviv, where his father Yitzhak was a ger and kept the Galus going. He wanted to finish with that Yeshev. He wanted the Yeshev Yaakov Beretz Migurei Aviv, where his father was a ger, and therefore Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, no, that's no good. You have to think about the rogues of Lot. You have to keep going. You can't have the tranquility yet of Gula. That has to, you have to have the Galus, because there's got to be 400 years. Okay, it says in the pasuk, next pasuk, Ve'ela told us Yaakov, Yosef, etc. Ben Shrei Shana, and it says Vayave Yosef as dibasam ra'a el avihem. So what's dibasam ra'a? What's diba? So we know diba is lashon of lashon hara. Then he spoke about his brothers. Where does the it's interesting. I saw. Where does the lashon of diba? How does that? What connection is there to lashon har? Why is diba mean lashon har? So there's a sefer called Nishmas Kol Chai. We once learned it here in the yeshiva. It's all about animals and the chazal, all the chazalim about the various animals and things. Very interesting facts. So one of the things he says that a diba comes from the word dov. What's a dov? A bear. What's the connection? It says that a bear, if you ever, hopefully you never came in contact with one, but if you did, you would see that the bear like walks around and he's constantly like mumbling. It looks like he's talking to himself. Okay, that's the derech of a bear. Mimele, he's constantly talking. Somebody who talks too much, right, speaks, that's lashon hara. So diba is lashon from dov, from bear, the bear speak. It's interesting, he also brings down where does the word though bear come from, dov, like why dov? So also when the bear walks and speaks to itself, it's constantly drooling. You know, saliva is like constantly drunk. Now, in other words, it's the saliva is zav, or zov, right? It's flowing from his mouth. So Zayin and Dalet, we know, are interchangeable letters. So Mela, from zov, you can exchange it to dov, and that's why he's called a dov, a bear, because he's zov, because the saliva is constantly running from his mouth. Okay. Pasuk Tesvav. Yaakov sends Yosef to check out his brothers. And it says in the Pasuk, he's wandering around and looking for his brothers. Vayimtzeu ish v'nei toev asadeh. He was like lost in the field, and a ish found him. Vayishaleu ish lemor matavakesh. The man asked him, what would you like, etc. So Rashi brings down, who is this ish? Rashi says it was an angel, Gabriel. Angel Gabriel. So they ask, it's very interesting, because here it just says ish. Who is the ish? It's Rashi, Gabriel. We find in last week's Sedra also an ish. Where is that? V'yavek ishimo adolas ha-shachar. That Yaakov was fighting with an ish adolas ha-shachar. Who's the ish over there? The sorrow of Esav. So they ask, why? How did Chazal see? It says ish in both places. Why the ish over here in our sedra is Malach Gabriel, and the ish fighting with Yaakov is the Sarah Shalita? Why they're both ish? How did they know which ish was what? So the answer is very simple. Say what? Look at their actions. Well, over there, they're fighting, right? The ish was fighting with whose fights? A Sarah Shalita. Whereas over here, the ish in our sedra was a man in the field says, oh, you're lost, can I help you? Matavagesh, you know, can I? God wants to help. That's Malach Gabriel. Okay. It says, famous pasuk with a famous drasha to it. Find the brothers saw Yosef, they took him, and vayikachu vayashlichu also a bor, they threw him in the bor, haborek, vaborek ein bomayim. So, famous Chazal, that there was no water in the boar. However, nechashim v'akravim yeshbo. There were snakes and scorpions. So there's a Gemara in Yoma, Daf Kaf Beis. It says, kol tamid chacham she'eino nokim v'noter, k'nachash eino tamid chacham. That a tamid chacham who doesn't take revenge like a snake is not a real tamid chacham. So why a snake, they say? Because a snake doesn't get any pleasure when it bites. It bites, but it doesn't, like other animals, it attacks, bites for its own pleasure, to eat. But the snake just attacks them without getting any pleasure. So too, a Talmid Chacham, that was somebody did something bad to him or whatever, in public, so he has to take revenge. Well, but why? Not personal revenge, but revenge for Kavod HaTorah. So it can't be a personal thing, you know, doing, oh yeah, and get back at the guy. So he has to, nokem v'noter kenachash. Just like a nachash doesn't do it for his own pleasure, he's doing it, he doesn't get pleasure from it. So too, that's how Talmid Chacham has to take revenge, nothing personal, just for Kavod HaTorah, like a nachash. Yalkut HaGershuni says that he once saw a guy who wasn't, it was far from being a Talmid Chacham, but he liked to take revenge like a nachash. And so he said concerning him, this drasha. The boar rake, meaning the boar is referring to this guy, he's a boor, he's an Amaretz. He's rake, ein bo mayim. What's mayim? Torah. This guy is a boor, ein bo mayim, he has no Torah, he has no nothing. Yet, what? Mayim ein bo ba nechashim v'akravim yeshbo. Right? Even though he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, but I'll take revenge, that he did a very nice job of doing. Right? Take the revenge part of it, yeah, but being a Talmid Chacham, a different story. Okay, it says in the Pasuk, Lamed Ches, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vishal, Esanche Mekoma Lemor, Ayeya Kadesha, Hi Veinai Maladar. Vayomer Uloi Safede Kadesha. This is when, after Yehuda lived with Tamar, was as in disguise, and took, he wanted to, he gave his a mashkin to her, and now he wanted to get the mashkin back, so he sent his Reyehu Adulami to get the mashkin back. Anyway, it says in the pasuk that he's looking for, and he asked the people in the area, "Did you see this kadesha? You know, this zona?" He may naim aladarach, and they said, "No, we don't know. We don't see such and such." So the Likute Batar Likute says brings a drasha that the kadesha is also a remiss to a bali avera, people that do averas. So he says, what does it say about this kadesha again in the pasuk? He beinayim ala derech. So why do these people become bali avera? Because of their einayim ala derech. Because they don't watch, they don't have shmiras einayim. When they're walking around on the street, they're not careful what they're looking at. So their kadesha, their bali avera comes from he beinayim ala derech. Because their eyes on their way. They're not careful where they're looking. So Maisa with Rabbanit Sternbach. She was very, very active during the Holocaust in saving Jewish children from the Nazis. So she was very, very active, and she used to go many, many times for an Eitza from one of the Gedolim, Rav Mordechai Progromansky. Many, many times asking Eitza's advice about different things, you know, when she was in her activities. So once she wanted to use a certain goy to, you know, help out in a certain inyan. So she again went to him and mentioned about this goy that she wants to use, and he says, "No, don't take this goy, don't use him." He says, "If you use him, you'll see he's gonna turn on you. He's a traitor, and don't use him." So she said, "Wow, like how did the Rav know that? I mean, how did you know this guy's a traitor?" So he says, "Baruch Hashem, one of the gifts Hashem gave me, bestowed upon me, was that I can look at a face and know everything about the person. It's like an open book, right? Just look at a face, I can see right through him, I know everything about the person, just like that. So I saw this guy before, I looked at him, I know everything about him, he's a traitor, don't use him." So she said, "Oh wow, that's amazing." So she thought, you know, if that's the case, you know, while she's at it, she says, "Well, maybe the Rav can tell something about me, you know, you just look at a face, you know, I've been here dozens of times, so maybe you can tell something of things that I don't know about myself, you know, if you can see him." So he says, "No, I can't do that." He says, "Why?" He says, "Well, I never saw you before. I never looked at you. I don't know what you look at." So Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, Shlita, said he used to visit his mother, his Nalmana, once a week. So, make sure she, you know, visits his mother once a week. Then all of a sudden, his minhag changed, and people saw that he came like daily to visit his mother. So they asked him, "What happened? You know, you used to come only once a week. What is it? Now you're visiting her every day." So he said, "Because, I'll tell you, I used to only visit once a week. Why? Because of Shmiras Einayim. You know, I had to go on the way and, you know, walking on the street, like we said, things you don't want to see. And in order that I shouldn't be nichshol in Shmiras Einayim, I try not to go out on the street. Okay, but I have to visit my mother. So I tried to keep it to bare minimum and, you know, go once a week only." "Ah, how come you're going every day then now?" He says, "Because I developed cataracts in my eyes. So I can't see so much. I see very little. So now, no problem. I can go out on the street and I don't going to see anything anyway. So now, no excuse. I can go every day to visit my mother." Right? And who we're talking about here, right? Michal Lefkowitz. Like, he's like, what is he looking at, you know, Hasachakal? And he was worried about it. And we're like, "Yeah, no problem. I can go, no, you know." Anyways, but what happened was he went for an operation and to cure the cataract, right? And they did. So he was able to see again. So now, poor mother, he couldn't go to visit her anymore. No, I still went to visit her, so he couldn't go every day. So he mentioned, "Einach anami," you know, on the one hand, it's nice to be able to see, but on the other hand, there is the negative side of things, that you know, he doesn't have the built-in Shmiras Einayim. So they asked him, "Well, if that's the case, then why didn't you just have why did you have the operation? You know, you had it could hard to see, but it was good for your Shmiras Einayim, so why did you bother?" So what did he say? He said, "I'll tell you why." He said, "Because when I walk on the street, you know, people, you know, turn to me, whatever, or say shalom, whatever, nod to me, shalom, or whatever. And when I couldn't see, I didn't know. And I'm walking right by them, and you know, maybe pogan people, I, you know, made them, you know, feel bad that I didn't say hello to them or whatever. And because, but I Pasha didn't see them. So that's why I had the operations, that I could be able to see the people, and I shouldn't you know, hurt their feelings by not saying hello to them, when really it's really not my fault. Okay, it says Pasuk Lamites, Pasuk Beis. Okay, so Yosef ends up in Mitzrayim by Potiphar. It says, Vayhi Hashem es Yosef, Vayhi Ish Matzliach. So the Chafetz Chaim says, that points out interesting thing, which I wonder if you ever noticed, that we say the Birchas HaChodesh once a month, you know, and Shabbos Mevarchim. So one thing we ask for, Chaim Shal this, Chaim Shal that, one thing we repeat twice. What is that? Yiras Shamayim. Right? We say Chaim Sheish Pem Yiras Shamayim V'Yiras Chay once. And then we say Chaim Shal Osher V'Chavod Chaim Shateivanu Avas Torah V'Yiras Shamayim again. So after the Chafetz Chaim, why do you have to ask for Yiras Shamayim twice? We already asked it. Chaim Sheish Pem Yiras Shamayim. So he says that because what came in between. First we ask for Yiras Shamayim. But then we ask for Chaim Shal Osher V'Chavo. You're asking for wealth? Okay, now you can ask for Yiras Shamayim again. You know, once you have money, you need extra boost of Yiras Shamayim. So mainly say on the Pasuk as well. But he Hashem es Yosef, and he eats Matzliach. That even though Yosef was an Ish Matzliach, you know, he had the Osher, but still, but he Hashem es Yosef. He still had this Yiras Shamayim. Okay. Okay, and Pasuches, Lamates Pasuches, so it says after Achard Rimeila, and Eishes Adonav lifted up her eyes towards Yosef, Atomer Shichva Yimi, so then the Pasuches says, V'yame'en, Yosef refused, said no, and V'yomer, and he said, Eishes Adonav, he said to this woman, you know, Hein Adoni, lo yada iti, ma babayis, v'chol asher yeshlo, etc., etc. Says, I'm in charge of the house, I know everything about, I'm, you know, so how can I do this? You know, I can take his wife, you know, and he trusted me in the whole house, etc., etc. So, Rabbi Yerucham Mimir points out that the first word in the Pasuk, v'yame'en, that he refused, there's a shalshalas. Right, the long no, v'yame'en. So he says, "What is v'yame'en? Why? When does shalshalas? Why is there shalshalas? Shalshalas is a big hefsek. It's a stop in the pasuk. In fact, in the if you look in your chumashi, after v'yame'en is also a line, which means it's a double. The note itself is a hefsek, a long note, but also there's a line after that word. Also, I mean, you're supposed to when you're reading, take a little break." So he points out, what is this coming to teach us? That how you have to deal with the Yetzer Hara. Right here, you know, this woman is trying to enticing Yosef. So what did he do? Vayame'en. Meaning, before he started telling her anything, getting the whole discussion, which he did, explain why I can't do this with you. But the first thing was Vayame'en. Meaning, no. First thing, say no. That's it, no. Okay, after that, you know, explain, isn't that fine? But don't start off with your explanations. Because if you're going to start off with your explanations, then things will cool down, and now you're all up. So, I can't do this. But then you start discussing things, and then before you know it, you're entrapped with the Yetzer Hara. So, first thing you got to do is say, no! Break. Finish. Be a man. Break. Then, you want to discuss it afterward, you got to say no. That's the lesson, says Rabbi Yerucham. Find the same idea from a famous word from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Right into the Levaya of Yaakov Avinu, when they bring Yaakov to Marasa Machpela, so they want to, you know, bury them, and Esau was there, he says, no, I'm not letting you in, and he says, why? He says, it's my care, not yours, he says, no, it's ours, oh yeah, prove it, so the brothers said, okay, where's the shtar? It's not there, it's in Mitzrayim, uh-oh. So they said, okay, we'll send Naftali, he's a fast runner, he went to go get the shtar, the shows Marasa Machpela is there. So in the meantime, Chushim, the son of Dan, Chushim ben Dan, he was standing, he was deaf, he couldn't hear. So he didn't hear what was going on. And he started, sign language, I guess, whatever. That's like, what's going on over here? So they sign language him back, whatever, that, Esav wants to, says, what? So our father's going to be sitting here, and our dead father's going to be in this lying here, the bees of Zion amazed. Well, he'll get the star, forget it. And he knocked Esav's head off, right on the spot. So Rav Chaim asks, he says, L'chora, was the covet of the father of Chushim, he felt the covet of, Yaakov, that why did he take it so to heart more than all the brothers? But all the brothers didn't care about their father's covet? Only Chushim? They say, difference is, we said, that the brothers didn't take the advice that we saw with Yosef. Meaning, they got into a discussion. So you're not bearing hero. Oh, why? Well, it's ours. So first, of course, the initial thing was, be Zion of our father. But then you start talking about this, about, the star, let's go get it. And all of a sudden, the whole thing, it fades out. So Chushim, he was deaf. So he didn't take part in this whole discussion. He didn't know what was going on. So for him, it wasn't, he still had that strength of that commitment of, be Zion amaze. So Mela, he killed Esav right on the spot. In fact, there's also a Mishnah, Mvodah Zarah. You also see this idea that Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Yeshua while they're walking on the way, Neimas through Gvinas Akum. He says, why is the cheese of the Goyim Aser? And so he didn't want to reveal, he didn't want to say why, and he changed the topic. So as he started speaking about a pasuk in Tehillim that says Kitovim dodecha miyain, is it dodecha or dodaich? How do you pronounce? He changed the topic. So the Bar Tanur explains why Rabbi Yeshua changed the topic. Why didn't he tell him? I want to know why the Gvina Safim. So he says a very interesting fact. He says that when the Chazal made a gezera, they for a year they didn't megala the reason. At least a year went by. They wouldn't tell why they made this gezera. In this case, why the cheese of the goyim are aser. They asered it. They didn't say why. Only a year later, why? For this very reason. So once just if they would have said, okay, this is the reason. Oh, there's a reason. Well, maybe it doesn't apply. Why are you doing this? You're not necessary. Before you start getting the whole discussion, the whole thing, well, goodbye. There's no more zera. And therefore, for a year, no excuse, no reason. That's it. And afterwards, once that's accepted, then already you can talk about it later. So it's much the same idea. Says that at the end of the Sedra, Miktsof Paro al Sari Mashkim al Sari Ofi. So the Paro got angry at the two Sarim and put them in prison, etc. And in the end, the baker was put to death, and the Sari Mashkim the butler got his job back. So it's interesting here. Now, who did the worst thing? Who did the worst affair between the two? Okay, so what did they do? So the baker had a little dirt or whatever, a pebble or something was in the bread of the king. Okay, that was his. What did the butler do? Fly was in the cup. He presented a cup of drink with the fly. Now what's worse? Of course the fly. Why? Because, you have a piece of bread, a little dirt or whatever, so he might not notice it. He might not even get it in this piece of bread that he's eating, and it's a little bit flat. But I'd give him a cup, and right there, they're swimming around in front of his eyes, this fly. Come on, that's terrible. So, you'd think it would make sense that who would get the worst punishment? Of course, the butler. But yet the butler got his job back, and the baker was killed. Why? He did a worse thing. So the Sharbas Rabbi says a very simple answer. He says that the butler and the baker were enemies. Okay, they hated each other. So what happened? The butler wanted to get the baker in trouble, so he was the one that put something in the bread. Right, and the baker wanted to get the butler in trouble, so he put something in the drink before he served it, when he wasn't looking, he put the fly in the drink. So Mela, they planted the bad thing in each other's thing. When Mela comes out, who did the worst thing? The baker, because he was the one that put the fly in the drink. So therefore he got killed, and the butler did the last thing. He put the dirt in the bread. Mela, he was saved. Okay, one last vort. Says that at the end of the Sedra, that Yosef, the butler got out, and he asked him to remember, and to Pharaoh, etc. So there's a famous midrash, also a very famous midrash that everybody talks about, and very speaks stira. It says, Chazal bring down that Ashrei HaGever Asher Sam Bashem Miftacho. Who is the Gever that puts their trust into Hashem? This is the Yosef. Yosef, big Baal Bitachon. Yet the midrash continues, the pasuk says, V'lo v'panai el rahavim. And when it doesn't turn to the haughty, to the arrogant people, also referring to Yosef, Sha'amar l'sar mashkim zechartani v'izkartani sh'alidei kachit v'asef lo shtei shanim. Because he asked the Sar Mashkim to remember him, he said the double two words, so he was had to spend extra 2 years in prison. So it doesn't go. First we're saying the big Balti Chitachon, that's Yosef. And then the Pasuk continues that he didn't turn to the, he turned to the Sar Mashkim, and because of that he had to stay 2 years in prison. He isn't the biggest Balti Chitachon. Make up your mind, was he or wasn't he? Sort of Meir Shapiro, I mean Lublin, was the following maisa, which he heard, to answer this. It says, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, his name is Rav Aaron Mititai, he lived in a city called Constantine, and this grandson of the Baal Shem is very, very poor, Rav Aaron, very poor man. So poor, they didn't have money for Shabbos candles. Anyways, it got to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. So, Friday night, he came into shul, and right after davening, he gives a clap on the beam, and he says, Rabboisai, he says, I don't understand you. So the neighbor's looking, what's going on? He says, you're not embarrassed? He says, I'm the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, and I didn't have money to have light Shabbos candles. You don't care? You don't do it, that's it? It doesn't bother you? It doesn't bother anyone? My matzah? Everybody was shocked and realized, so they got together and they said, okay, he's right, we gotta do something, we gotta help this guy out. So he said, okay, here's the plan, everybody go home for the Suda. After the Suda, we're all having a meeting of the community tonight, and even though it's Shabbos, getting together, we're gonna discuss how to help this guy. So fine. So everybody went home to their Sudas. Meantime, Varan also went home. As he's walking home, he says, Sarafasani, he's starting having regret. He goes, how could I do such a thing? How could I ask for people for money, for help? What am I doing turning for help? And not only that, I'm turning for help to in the name of my grandfather, Baal Shem Tov. He said, how could I do such a thing? He said, So he was so upset that he davened really, really hard to Kadosh Baruch Hu that everybody should forget the whole thing as if it didn't happen and not come to shul, not come for the meeting. The whole thing should be forgotten. So he davened really hard, and sure enough, that's what happened. Whole thing was forgotten, as if he never said anything, no meeting, no nothing, the whole thing was forgotten. So Mela says, to answer the midrash the same way. Ashrei gever asher sam b'Hashem miftacho le'ezei Yosef. He was a big Baal Bitachon, 100%. Right? But the midrash continues, v'lo pana el rahavim, he didn't turn to Einachanami. But what happened? Yosef, yeah, he did turn to the Sar Mashkim, he did say Zechatani is Gartani, right? But then what happened? We're missing the continuation. But then Yosef felt terrible. He goes, oh, how could I have done that? How could I have asked Sar Mashkim to remember me? What am I doing? Asking for help or whatever. Lamaisa is too late because he got punished for those 2 years. But he said, how could I have done such a thing? So what did he do? He dove into Hashem. Hashem, make the Sar Mashkim forget I said anything. And sure enough, what does it say in the last pasuk? V'lo zachar sar mashkim es Yosef v'yishkachehu. He forgot all about him. Exactly what Yosef wanted. So mele, lo pana el rahavim. Yeah, in the end he did it. He did it at first, but then he asked him to forget, and in the end he was forgotten. So at Hashem, we should mechazak ourselves v'chol anyanim, especially bitachon in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and b'schus our bitachon in Him, Hashem will answer with bringing us the Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'meirah v'yameinu.